Amen. Well, I thought we could play a game. This game is called Who's Lived the Longest in a House in Which They Currently Live? Now, I know you're thinking, Adam, that sounds like too much fun to have in a church service. But don't worry, this isn't going to be fun at all. So for this game, if everyone puts a hand in the air. Okay, now keep your hand up if you have lived in the house in which you currently live for more than a week. Okay, that's interesting. More than a year. More than 5 years. More than 10 years. You don't move much, do you? More than 20 years. Oh, a few hands gone down. More than 30 years. More than 40 years. More than 50 years. More than 55 years. Yes, okay. I've got a few. More than 60 years. No. How long have we got? Fifty-seven years. Well, 57 years, that's good, isn't it? 57 years. A long time to live in a house. Well, this evening, I want us to remember that if we know Jesus, we have an eternal home that we're looking forward to. And compared to eternity, 57 years isn't very long at all. And I want us to see this evening how that should make a difference to how we live now. And I want us to think particularly about some of those verses in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 to 14. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. A tale of two cities. One city that's now, one city that's still to come. One city that doesn't last, one city that does. One city that's an image of life here and now in Bridgend, County Borough. One city that's an image of settling down forever in the perfect presence of God. Two cities. And before we think about anything else, it'd be good for us just to pause and be amazed that we have an eternal city to look forward to. To be amazed that we actually have an eternal city to seek. That it's not all just about something that doesn't last. Because most people in the UK at the moment, verse 14 for them really ends with the comma, that here we have no lasting city. That's it. We all know that things in this world now don't last, that they come to an end. We're aware of that. That's why we get angry and frustrated at death, and rightly so. It's something that cuts short our hopes and our dreams and our joy and our relationships. And for so many people around us, that's all they really know. This life now that doesn't last. Make the most of it while you can, and then it will come to an end. But if we know Jesus, verse 14 does not end with the comma. It continues with the word but. Here we have no lasting city. We don't have a lasting city now, but we seek the city that is to come. We're looking forward to a future city, a lasting city, our real home, our lasting home, a place for us to settle down in forever, a place that's coming soon for us, a home that we don't deserve, we haven't earned, but that's ours because of Jesus. Jesus, our Saviour, who left the security of his home in heaven and came down to this earth. Because we couldn't climb our way up to heaven. We couldn't add our names to the guest list of heaven. Whatever accomplishments we've achieved in our lives, we haven't achieved a perfect record before God. We've made ourselves guilty in his sight. We've fallen short of his good standards. We've turned away from him and rejected him. We've sinned. But when we couldn't climb up to heaven, Jesus came down and shed his blood for us. Shed his blood for us outside of the gate of Jerusalem, outside the city. Shed his blood, putting himself in our place. The innocent dying for the guilty, so we could be forgiven, so we could be put right with our God, so we could be sanctified, to use that word, so we could be made people who can survive in the presence of God. We can survive in the presence of God now and forever. That now we can have this hope of the city that is to come, a perfect, holy, eternal home for us. And not some kind of vague hope, not this wishful thinking, well, maybe there's a heaven somewhere. No, this is something definite. We seek the city. It's definite. It's concrete, not vague. We seek the city that Abraham even was ultimately looking forward to in the promises of God, the city that faithful Jews in the time of Nehemiah were looking forward to, that their Jerusalem then was just a picture of. That city that's described for us as being a city with the unfading glory of God, radiance like a rare jewel. The city that we will see when Jesus comes back in glory and majesty. The city that is to come, a definite, concrete hope for us. And if we know Jesus, that is our real home, where we'll settle down forever in the presence of God. If we know Jesus, that's where our real identity is. Citizens of that city, where we'll settle down. And if we know Jesus, that's where our real security is. That no one can take us off that citizenship list if our name is there. We seek the city that is to come. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. But praise God, we can seek it because of Jesus. And when we get frustrated and angry at how fleeting life is now, and we can't do all the things we'd like to do, and our dreams get cut short, and we can't even do the things that we used to be able to do, well, we don't have a lasting city now, but we seek the city that is to come, this perfect hope that we have. This tale of two cities. Praise God. Because of Jesus, if we trust in him, we can seek that city that is to come. And if we are seeking that city, if we've understood that tale of two cities, well, that's going to make a difference to our life now, isn't it? That's going to make some difference to our lives now. In a few weeks, I'm going on holiday. No need to sound so disappointed. Going on holiday to going on holiday to going on holiday, that's where I'm going. We're going to Centre Parks. Oh, we're going to be staying 4 nights in a woodland lodge. I've never been to Centre Parks before, but I've been informed that this woodland lodge is both practical and stylish. So I'm picturing something a bit like Lichard Mission. So we're going 4 nights in this woodland lodge. Now, question is, and this is a question that will have options that you can choose from in another participatory exercise. The question is, what's the first thing that we're going to do when we arrive at our wooden lodge? What's the first thing we're going to do when we arrive at that place that will be home for 4 nights? Option A. I'm going to take some measurements to get some new furniture put into our wooden lodge. Option B. Are we going to buy some plasterboard to put in a partition wall in the open plan living space? Option C. Are we going to repaint the walls in the same shade of duck egg as my study in the manse? Option D. Are we going to sit down and have a nice cup of tea and a donut? Option E. Are we going to go to the gym? What do you think? The tea, yes. Of course it's a tea. Of course it has to be option D, sit down and have a cup of tea and a donut. The other options would just be silly. I mean, going to the gym is always silly. And those other options, if we're only there for 4 nights, it's madness. If we're only there for 4 nights, some things are just not a priority. Partition walls and paint colours, it's just not a priority. We're going to be home soon enough. There's some things that we can just put up with because we're going to be home soon enough. Well, it seems to me that compared to eternity, our life now is a bit like a few nights at Centre Parks. We're here for a short time, and then we'll be home, in our real home, soon enough. So some things just don't need to be a priority, because we'll be home soon enough. Some things we can just put up with, because we'll be home soon enough in our perfect, real, lasting home. Here we have no lasting city. It's like Centre Parks, but we seek the city that is to come. And one of the main things that means is that we don't need to settle down into finding our ideal, comfortable life now. We don't need to settle down into our ideal, comfortable life now. Now, that doesn't mean that comfort, being comfortable, is always bad. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't do things that make us comfortable. It doesn't mean that we should make our lives as uncomfortable as possible, or anything like that. But it does mean that being comfortable is not our priority if we seek the city that is to come. Setting down into a comfortable life now is not a priority. Our priority is following Jesus. That's our priority. Even when it's hard, our priority is still following him. Therefore, says the writer in verse 13, let us go to him, let us go to Jesus outside the camp, outside this place of security and safety. Let's go to him where it's hard to go to him and bear the reproach he endured. Because we don't have a lasting city here, but we have a lasting city to come. So we keep following Jesus. And if following Jesus makes us miss out on things, well, we'll be home soon enough, in somewhere far greater than anything that this world now can offer. And if following Jesus gets hard, which it will at points, we'll be home soon enough, where all the tears will be wiped away forever. And if following Jesus means going through uncomfortable things, we keep following him, because we'll be home soon enough. We don't have a lasting city here, but we seek the city that is to come. And there'll be other people who try and entice us away from Jesus, who beckon us to come over to where it's warm and dry, or so they say. These first readers here receiving this letter, they were facing pressures, a lot of pressures. Pressures to walk away from Jesus. Pressures from Jews who didn't believe in Jesus as the Christ. Pressures of persecution and opposition and hostility. Pressures trying to persuade them that it would be more comfortable and better for them if they turned away from Jesus went inside the camp. We face pressures of those people who would mock us and reject our love of Jesus. Pressures from those temptations of gods of comfort and success and approval. But the writer says, no, keep following Jesus. Keep following him, even when it's hard, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's painful, even when it means suffering reproach and mockery and rejection. Because if we're following Jesus, we're looking forward to something far better anyway, that city to come. If we're following Jesus, well, the path now may be painful, but the painful path is quite short, and it ends in glory, eternal glory. We may suffer reproach for a short time. We'll have eternity to rest from it. When Jesus says those words to us, take up your cross and follow me, what picture is he giving us? It's not a picture of us just walking around carrying a cross for the whole of forever. It's a picture of us following in the footsteps that he has left. Footsteps that lead us through suffering, but lead us to glory. They don't end in the suffering, but go through suffering to glory. Going the way that Jesus has set before us, going to that path that ends in the perfect presence of God forever. What the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 6, that inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, gone ahead of us through suffering to glory. Compared to eternity, our life now is like a few nights at Centre Parks. Our real home is coming. Our lasting home is coming. So we don't need to settle down into an ideal, comfortable life now. Our priority can just be following Jesus wherever he leads us, even if it's hard and painful, and even if it means leaving things behind, and even if it's difficult and uncomfortable. The path of following Jesus ends in that glory, in that lasting city to come. Our real home is coming. This world now is not a lasting home for us. Our lasting home is to come. That changes our priorities now. Let's think about something a bit more specific. If we're seeking that lasting city, if we know that here we have no lasting city, but we seek that city that's to come, what impact does that have on the way that we relate to the community around us? By the community around us, I mean both the community around us and the community around us. I realise that made more sense in my head than it did when I said it. But I mean both the community around us here, Lichard, here where we are, where we have this building and this base and where we meet together. But also the community around each one of us, wherever God has placed us in his providence, whatever contacts we have with our neighbours and colleagues and family and friends and social groups, the community around us here in Lichard Mission and the communities around each one of us as God's people wherever we are. What difference does this make to the way that we relate to them? Because there are lots of people who need to hear about Jesus. Isn't that true? There are lots of people who need to hear about Jesus. And the challenging question I find in this passage, are we willing to make ourselves uncomfortable to reach them? Are we willing to make ourselves uncomfortable to reach them with the good news about Jesus? Am I willing to make myself uncomfortable to tell people about Jesus? Are we willing to go outside the camp of security and safety, to stand with Jesus in the face of mockery and rejection, to stand with him and to call people to follow him to call others to come outside of the camp and to follow Jesus, to call others to come outside of the camp and to follow the one in whom we find forgiveness and hope? Are we willing to go outside the camp and to stand with him and call others to follow him, even when there are more comfortable things that we could be doing with our time? Even when there are more comfortable things we could be doing with our money? Even when there are more comfortable things we could be praying for? Are we willing to go outside the security of the camp and to stand with Jesus in the face of reproach, to call others to follow him, even if it means risking mockery and rejection and knocks to our pride? Because here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. We want others to be there, don't we? That city that we seek. I wonder, are there activities in our week where people don't see a faithful witness to Christ? Because being a faithful witness would be too uncomfortable? Are there people who live near us who we're not even praying for opportunities to speak to them about Jesus because we think speaking to them about Jesus will be too uncomfortable? Are there opportunities that we're missing as a church here, a Lichard Mission, because we think taking those opportunities would be too uncomfortable? Are there opportunities that we're missing as a church because we're not alert to those opportunities because we're too busy making ourselves a bit more comfortable? Those are the kinds of challenging questions I find myself asking when I think about this lasting city. Are we willing to go outside the camp to risk mockery and rejection and reproach? Because we don't have a lasting city here. We seek the city that is to come. And we want others to be there with us. This morning we saw those people who were willing to make a costly and risky decision to move to Jerusalem, trusting in the goodness and faithfulness of God. Here we have God through his word calling us to make costly and risky decisions, trusting in that final end of his good and faithful promises, that city that is to come. Are we willing to follow that example? And do we see the encouragement when we do go outside the camp? The encouragement here when we do go and stand with Jesus when it's hard. I know many of you know the pain of having family members who aren't Christians. One of the most challenging, or possibly the most challenging, context in which to be a faithful witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have family members who might even mock you or ridicule you, or in some cases even reject you because you stand with Jesus. A hard situation, needing wisdom and sensitivity and patience and much prayer and much perseverance. And what will give us that perseverance? What is it that will keep us as faithfully wise witnesses? Isn't part of the answer the knowledge that this isn't it, that eternal home is coming? We're looking forward to being there, and we want others to be there too. So we keep standing with Jesus, even if it means suffering reproach. Because if we suffer reproach by standing with Jesus, then we know we're on the path to glory, to that city, that lasting city, our real home, our eternal home. Are we willing to go outside the camp and stand with Jesus and call others to follow him? Because here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. If you were here on the 18th of March, you will have learned a memory verse from Hebrews chapter 13, which all of you remember perfectly. I'll take that as a yes, we do, Adam. Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. It's a wonderful verse to have in your mind, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And I wonder if here's another good memory verse from Hebrews chapter 13. Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Is that a good verse to have in our minds and in our hearts as we go through life? Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. A verse to have in our minds when we move house. A verse to have in our minds when we buy a new bit of furniture for our living room. A verse to have in our minds when we get out the paint to do some redecoration. A verse to have in our minds when we give thanks to God for his provision for us. A verse to have in our minds when we drive past a new housing development in whichever field that they've recently bought. Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Hebrews 13, verse 14. That however settled we feel now, something better is coming. And however unsettled we feel now, well, we'll have an eternity to settle down in the presence of God. Seek the city that is to come. And the fact that we're here now this evening, the fact that we're here together this evening is a testimony to the fact that people in the past here at Litch Mission have grasped something of that truth, that they've been looking forward to the city that is to come. And they've kept going and kept following Jesus, even when it's been hard. And the fact that we're here this evening is a testimony to how God has kept us following Jesus, even in times that have been hard. He's given us a sight of that city to come. We want to have a bigger vision of that, don't we? We want to have a bigger vision of our hope in Jesus, to be really gripped by it, to be transformed and shaped by it, to be willing to keep following Jesus wherever he leads us, whatever cost, whatever risk. Keep longing to see others join us on that journey to that eternal, lasting city. Compared to eternity, our life now is like a few nights at Centre Parks. Let's make the most of those few nights, because here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Amen.